Thanks for listening to us on the Jefferson Exchange. We're excited to expand the boundaries of the program just a bit today. For the first time, we're out of the talk studio and downstairs in the Steve Nelson Musical Performance Studio built into the new JPR Broadcast Complex. The Bohemian Trio is here from New York City for a residency as part of the education program at the Brit Festival in Jacksonville, with a concert last night put on by Brit and the Siskiyou Music Project in Medford. Jazz, classical, don't try to pigeonhole the Bohemian Trio. Just listen. That is called Tarde en la Lisa. It's written by Yosvani Terry, who is on saxophones and checaré. Is that the name of the percussion device?
Yes, that's the name of the instrument. And thanks for having us on your show, Jeff.
Good to have you here, Yosvani. We also have with us on piano, Orlando Alonso. Good, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And Yves Dharamraj, who's on cello.
Thanks for having us. We're excited.
All multi-talented people, musicians, performers, conductors, all sorts of experiences mixed in there. And two of you born in Cuba, Yves born in France. What is the origin story for the trio? How did you guys first come together?
Well, Yosvani and I, we are Cubans. We met in Cuba at the National School of the Arts when we were teenagers. And we have been friends for the longest time. And when we arrived in New York, actually, I stayed more in the classical music world, and Yosvani stayed more in the jazz world. So we decided to get together and put a trio that together that would reflect our musical interest, the music that we love, where we could put together jazz and classical music. So we call our friend Eve, who I met in New York, and sent him a bunch of music for him to learn. And if, you know, he can tell you a little bit more about that.
But everything's always better with cello. We all know that. So.
Yes.
But I'd known Orlando mainly through his brother, who's also a fabulous pianist. We were in school together. And in New York, you know, musicians tend to get around and meet up and go to concerts and do all kinds of stuff together. And I was really intrigued by this project. I'd looked at a couple of Yosvani's pieces, and whoa, they were quite the challenge, especially when he's writing stuff that is a little bit more accessible on the saxophone. All of a sudden, to have to play that on the cello, I enjoyed that. I relished that challenge, and then the improvisational stuff. It was just, in the end, we were having fun, and that's what we're about: expanding our horizons, blurring genres, and three guys that just genuinely love to push the boundaries and have fun while doing it.
How long have you been together, Yosvani?
We've been together as a trio like for the past five years, mm-hmm. And as we said from the beginning, the trio started in New York. And it's been a good time to play in different venues in the city and outside too, and you know, it's been a great time to grow as a musician and also as an ensemble, given that we're playing music from other composers that have been generous enough to write music for us, since this is a very unusual instrumentation. So therefore, we're in the journey of growing.
Let me ask about that instrumentation, because I do wonder if you get some funny looks. You know, piano and cello, people are used to hearing a lot of it. Piano and cello and saxophone, do you get people who ask that question a lot?
Yeah, and I think what really intrigues people is the balance of the ensemble, because they haven't heard it, and each instrument on its own could be powerful and could overpower each other. But we find that balance, and once people hear it, they say, oh, never heard it before, but it sounds so great.
It's really interesting that, having listened to a few of your works already, I mean, admittedly, no more than maybe half an album side, for those of you who remember albums, the fact is that it sounds like a lot more instrumentation than it is. It sounds like there's more than three guys, but you don't do any multiple tracking, do you?
No. And I tell people sometimes it's like it's a trio, but it can sound like a duo. It can sound like a big ensemble. And I think the secret is in the instrumentation or the orchestration of the pieces, how they can make a part sound really huge.
There was in particular one piece that, and I'm sorry I don't have the name of it in front of me here, but it was one of the YouTube pieces that you had from a performance earlier, and I was trying to figure out where the percussion was coming from. I could tell because it was a video that Yosvani, you had a saxophone in your hands. It wasn't coming from you, and then I realized it was the sound of the cello going chug, chug, chug. So you all have to take different roles, it sounds like, in terms of where the music gets layered and what comes out of it.
And that's where the fun comes in. I mean, first of all, these three instruments, especially with both alto and soprano sax, each have a huge range. So at any time, you know, the cello, which is traditionally a more bass instrument, can provide a bass and rhythm, and the piano can provide sort of virtuosic supporting roles, and then the sax belts out a beautiful tune over it. But at any time, that can switch around. And of course, the cello is also known as a lyrical instrument. And then all of a sudden, the saxophones take over those fast supporting roles, and the piano does a rhythmic bass progression, or a tumbao, or something of that sort. And you never know what's coming around the corner, and we like to surprise our audiences.
And Yosvani, you're the primary composer in the group, is that right?
I've been the composer in residence.
Not by choice.
Okay. Why are you guys slacking off then?
I've written a few transcriptions, and there are things in the works.
All right. There's some really interesting meters in here, too. And it's interesting. I had a chance to meet you guys the other day when you're here just getting used to the space and having a little rehearsal time after an appearance at a high school. And I mentioned that one piece in particular, which I hope we'll hear today, Okonkolo, started with such an interesting, I could not figure out what the time signature was.
Yes. I think we're still trying to figure it out.
And that's what Yves said. Yes. Okay.
It's just Vani's fault.
No, but it's also the super syncopated rhythmic pattern of the bata introduced, I mean, which are the sacred drums of the Lukumi or the Yorubas, introduced that rhythmic cell in at the beginning of the piece. So when you listen to that rhythmic cell by itself, you can hear it from many different angles. So it's really tough to understand where it is.
All right, we will come back and actually hear some music directly live in the studio, the Steve Nelson Performance Space at the JPR headquarters, from Yosvani Terry, Orlando Alonso, and Yves Dharamraj, here on the Jefferson Exchange. Back on the Jefferson Exchange with the Bohemian Trio playing music in a minute 15. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. It's a different kind of show today. This is our first chance to actually come to you live out of the Steve Nelson Musical Performance Studio, built as part of the JPR Broadcast Center that we opened in July of last year. And we're happy to have the Bohemian Trio from New York City here with us. They're just finishing up their residency at the Brit Festival, part of the education program, and performed a concert last night in Medford in conjunction with the Siskiyou Music Project. So we're really pleased to have our first guests on the Exchange of the Musical Studio. The studios get used for other things, for other programs here on JPR, but this is our first time on the Exchange, and we're kind of tickled pink about it. But we have no phone lines into this room, so we can't take your phone calls and emails for Yosvani Terry, Orlando Alonso, and Yves Dharamraj, but you can hear them play music right here, right now. What are we going to work on here, gentlemen?
We're going to play a piece by a Cuban composer, also a wonderful pianist and a dear friend of ours, Adonis Gonzalez. And the name of the piece is Playtime for Trio. It's a scherzo, kind of a musical joke.
Playtime for Trio. So,
Playtime for Trio.
Right, perfect. Right here on the Jefferson Exchange with the Bohemian Trio. Thank you. playtime for Trio from the Bohemian Trio here on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm sorry there's no no applause track, live or canned, here on the Jefferson Exchange, but glad to have you guys in the studio sharing music with us. We have a chance to get to know you guys a little better, Yosvani Terry, Orlando Alonso, and Eve Dharamraj. You mentioned, Orlando, that you and Yosvani knew each other first. I mean,
yes.
give us a sense of musical traditions in Cuba, because there's a bunch of different cultures that have merged on that island over time.
No, it's we met at a time we were both in school, and this is a place in the National School in Havana. This is a place where all the best musicians get accepted. I was an exception, of course.
Say, how'd they let you in?
I'm not
they
talking
took
for
you
myself.
Yeah.
I was lucky enough to be, in the midst of all these great guys, and it was really. A lot of inspiration that you could draw from each other, because the funny thing is, like in Cuba, we are all trained in the classical music, education or style of music, and then these guys will go into a room and start listening to CDs of Chick Corea or Herbie Hancock. And try to improvise or transcribe some of their music, and they would go more into jazz, but it was just all coming from the same roots, from the same kind of musical background, and classical music is really what gives us all this foundation. Really.
Also, from my family side, or from my mother, everybody came from Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought with them their religious practices as well as their musical traditions. And then from my father, we come from Jamaica and Spain. And as well, I mean, one of his uncle was a really respected priest within the Yoruba tradition. And with that also, you have all of the musical tradition that came from Nigeria. And that is one of the strongest influences in Cuba. All of the musical traditions that came from Africa, that came from Europe, that is at the base of and the foundation of the culture. So that is also in Cuba. It's prevalent everywhere when you look at it. And yes, at the school we studied classical music, but at the same time, once you go back home, you're exposed to so much more. You're exposed also to the popular forms of Cuban music. You're exposed to the Afro-Cuban musical tradition, you're exposed to classical music, you're exposed to so many things. And it's hard to be in a school studying classical music or anything and escape that. This is like really, really prominent in the country.
I can see then why you would resist genre. It's like, well, this isn't jazz and it's not classical. It's just music. And there are so many different influences in there, because you come from a tradition where it sounds like anybody could show up with any kind of a song, with any kind of an instrument for that matter, too.
Yeah. Actually, that's one of the strongest things that we learn in school, that it's always about music. It's not about style, genre, or anything else. It's just about music. We just get together to play music.
How did you guys do some trial runs playing with each other before you decided to call yourselves a trio? Or was it, Eve came along and boom, there we were complete.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it was. Mm-hmm. He had to play. Well, you can tell the story of.
they joke around and said, one day I got this fateful phone call from Orlando, who we had never collaborated professionally together, but had hung out. And so, I'm talking to him, hey, what's up? What's going on? And told me the idea for the Bohemian Trio. And I was very intrigued. I love experimental things. I do a lot of avant-garde music, new music. I love the instrumentation. I love going outside of genre. He says, okay, well, let's go read some music. I was on Thanksgiving break. I didn't even have my cello, visiting my family. He said, all right, well, I'm going to send you a few scores and we'll sit down and we'll read it. I said, oh, sure, no problem. Yeah, how's Tuesday? So he literally sent me something like 8 scores and these super difficult pieces, and I didn't have my cello. I said, hey, it's going to be a true sight reading session. So they joke around. They said, hey, we sat down, we played. We immediately saw, we just jammed together, the vibe. They told me that night, yeah, you passed the audition. And, you know, ever since then, it's just been one thing after the other and getting more repertoire and even with the pieces that we have, finding new ways, throwing little surprises, even on stage.
I caught while you guys were performing, and I think I actually caught it on video too, so I'll put that on Facebook later in the day, but that there was a momentary pause and I could see you guys just like about 15 degrees of swivel in the eyesight to be able to catch each other's eye to know, now we start again together.
Yeah, it's a collaboration.
Well, but you know, in terms of instrumentation, I mean, there are only so many things you can do with the keys on a piano or on a saxophone. But a lot is required of you, I notice. I mean, you were really whacking away with some pizzicato work on the cello.
I think a lot of that comes from, you know, like I said, a lot of the avant-garde new music. Sometimes I'm playing concerts in New York of these crazy experimental pieces where you make any sound but what the cello traditionally does, you know, hitting the instrument. It's always a search for new sounds and new ways to surprise people. And, you know, we try to incorporate a little bit of that in our music here.
We incorporate some percussion instruments to the trio to enlarge the sound and colors of the trio. Sometimes Orlando does hits the clave and certain compositio on the side of the piano. We have a real clave. We have used checkere. We use guido, and Eve sometimes sings too. And we sing after different.
Reluctantly,
pretty much everything.
Reluctantly.
Yes. Yes. So it's a lot of things that we incorporate to get out of just the limitation that, you know, three instruments can bring you.
So essentially, you are unlimited then. I mean, you're only limited by your ability to produce certain sounds.
That is correct.
So then in a field that wide open, how decide what sorts of pieces to play, or in your case, Giovanni, to compose?
Well, that's a good question. I think if you see yourself or the instrumentation limitless, then you don't have any attachment to the three instruments. And that's why we bring like sounds. We bring sometimes he's humming a melody at the same time that I'm doing the melody with the soprano and the cello, and that reinforces the melody, but also gives a different color to it. Or when we introduce like percussion instrument, we introduce all of that. It's a way to challenge yourself as a composer and also as an instrumentalist as well. So I think the secret is like not seeing yourself at someone limited, and then bring all of this open vision of arrangement and composing into the instrumentation.
This must be a fun message to take an educational tour, as you guys have been hitting a couple of high schools around the Rogue Valley for the last few days. Is that right?
Yes.
Tell us about that, Orlando.
No, it's been wonderful. I was we were talking about that. It's always so inspiring to see so many students and schools involved with music. And the importance of music in kids' lives, and that is something that we were talking to them, you know, because some of them are considering music as a career, but at the end we were trying to convey to them that music is not only a career, it's more than that, it's a vocation. That's something that Yo-Yo Ma, one of the greatest cellists that ever lived, and also somebody who cares a lot about music education, talks about that music is a vocation. It's something that is supposed to accompany you for the rest of your lives, regardless of whether you do it professionally or just for fun after you come back from work and you want to relax, or you want to put your mind and your whole being into another dimension, really. And that's what music does for you your entire life. And it's great to see so many kids involved with music here. And it's fantastic that the Brit Festival and educational outreach programs are out there reaching so many kids.
Now, be honest, had you heard of Jacksonville, Oregon or Medford, Oregon before you guys were contacted?
Yes, because of the festival, actually, because of the Brit Festival. Mm-hmm. A lot of our friends play with the orchestra. as very good friends also with their conductor, with Teddy Abrams.
Teddy Abrams. Mm-hmm.
He's going to, I don't know. Oh, okay. So, you know, there are some surprises we're not supposed to talk about. So anyway. So
visiting artists, sorry. That sort of thing, yeah.
Yes, I mean, it's, a lot of our friends have told us many things about the place, and we have been hitting the town. We have been going to many good places to eat and drink and
great
have
wine.
Some fun.
Great
yes.
Wine. Boy, you got a lot of choices for wine in the yes. Valley with all the yes. wineries around. Yeah.
That was a real revelation. You know, I have French roots and all three of us love great wine. And, you know, outside of Oregon, primarily Pinot Noirs from Willamette Valley, but to find...
Willamette. You got to learn to say Willamette.
Oh, Willamette. And always learning. And some of the local wines, we just had great conversations, and it's been great. And, you know, we love going places and meeting people and seeing what's around.
Of course, you've also learned that the weather in various parts of the country can interfere with your musical plans, because we had planned to have you guys here on Tuesday.
I know.
In advance of your set of visits, both to schools yes. and to the concert on Thursday night. But it didn't quite work out that way. You got to spend a night in Salt Lake City. Yay. And then arrived here.
That was exciting.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to take a short break here on the Jefferson Exchange and come back and talk more with the folks at the Bohemian Trio, Yosvani Terry, Orlando Alonso, and Eve Dharamraj. Did I get it right this time?
Yes, you did.
Okay. Whew. Been working on that name for a week now.
Willamette.
Did I get it right? Sir. You did. You did. All right. So more music from the Bohemian Trio when we return to the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 40. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you so much for listening. We're really happy to be in a different studio today, not because we don't like the old studio, because it's actually our new studio, but this is a newer studio to the Jefferson Exchange, if that makes any sense. The Steve Nelson Music Performance Space was built into the new JPR complex that opened last July, and this is our first chance to make use of the room for the Jefferson Exchange. And so we're pleased to have with us the folks from the Bohemian Trio based in New York City, piano, cello, saxophone, and sometimes percussion. That is Yosvani Terry, who plays saxophone and percussion, Orlando Alonso on the piano, and Eve Dharamraj on the cello. And don't try to pigeonhole them in a genre, because they just will not adhere to that, as you've already been hearing on the Jefferson Exchange. We can't share your thoughts with them today on the exchange, because we don't have the phone lines into this studio, but instead we get a chance to play some really great music, and so glad to have you guys here. And so here we go. I guess we're going to be hearing a composition by Yosvani Terry called Okonkolo. Thank you. Bohemian Trio with Okonkolo in the Jefferson Exchange Performance Studio here at Jefferson Public Radio. Thanks so much for listening to us on the Jefferson Exchange today, and thanks to the Bohemian Trio for being here. That's amazing. How? Let me talk about the process of composition with that. I mean, it is so detailed. There are so many notes in there, so many changes in what you have to do along the way. And I can see a little bit of sweat on each of you. was it something that you had to just play first and then notate later, or was it completely written down before you did it?
Well, the process of composition changes all the time. This one, it started with a rhythmic cell by the Okonkolo, which is kupraku kupraku pran kupaku kupaku pa kupaku kupaku pa, and then from that rhythmic cell, because I used to play Okonkolo with a trio of drummers. I started imagining how I could develop that motif into melodies and rhythms. And then, of course, you have to find contrast. So you have to... Then there was a second part that came that was completely different than the first one. But I think, more importantly, you're trying to create a world out of few information, and then use that information to create a universe that represents not only what the rhythm is, but also the symbolism of the drums, and also the idea of taking the Okonkolo, which is actually the baby of the sacred drums from the Yoruba empire, and take it, the small drum, which has the role of keeping the time, to put it in front of an ensemble and create a concerto for it. So with all of these ideas, then you have a lot to work with.
So a Okonkolo is the name of the percussion device itself.
Yeah. It's a set of three drums. The bigger one is the Iya, the mother, Itotele, the father, and then a Okonkolo is the smallest one.
It's the baby. That's a great story. When you are interpreting the works of other composers, though, not your own stuff, I mean, how far afield do you go? Do you tend to stick with what they've done, or do you throw the things in there? Do you say, hey, you know, this Bach piece could use a little swing? I mean, how do you approach the works of other composers?
That's a great question. I mean, being in the new music scene, I find it a real privilege to be able to actually talk to a composer. You know, we can't talk to Beethoven and Mozart. We have to glean through their writings and other research to figure out what they had intended. But when you have a real live composer and they tend, and they're a friend of yours, you can sort of bounce ideas. They come back with stuff. Some stuff doesn't work, or maybe, hey, let's try this instead. And we've been very fortunate. We've worked with some really creative individuals. Pedro Giraldo, the Argentinian bassist who just won a Grammy for Best Tango Album, is a great friend of ours. He's written a couple pieces and equally versed in classical and tango and jazz. So, you know, they have that same sort of genre blurring idea that we have. And a lot of them have heard our trio, and they're inspired by hearing us in concert. Hey, let me write a piece, which is great because, you know, with these three instruments, you don't have a lot of stuff. But we always add our little flavor, especially throwing a little few improvised solos in there or effects. But most of the time, the composers love it. I mean, you know, it's always in the spirit of what they're intending, and it's a real collaboration.
This period in musical history then offers some opportunities. I mean, obviously, to talk to live composers at a time when people are taking risks and going outside of genres, but then there are the economics of the music business too. So, I mean, have you all managed to be professional musicians fairly consistently?
Yeah, you make a lot of money in a little corner on the New York subway.
West 4th Street in particular, right?
Exactly, there you go.
Oh, it's always a challenge. You have to be multifaceted. You know, you have to do a lot of things at once. Even within the music world, we have solo careers. We teach. I mean, I don't, but some of us do. And Yosvani is teaches at Harvard University. Eve teaches at Vassar College, and also privately. And so I collaborate with other musicians as well all the time. We play with orchestras, we play with ensembles, chamber music. So we're always doing different things, to not only to make money, but also because it's part of the life of a musician. It's part of what we do. We have to always be curious about what is happening, what people are doing, and there is so much that you learn from collaborating with people, even people that you don't like. You know, it's I think you learn more from those about the process of music and the process of being together in a group and developing your skills and
are you saying you don't like us?
No, I wouldn't
dare
say that.
He doesn't learn as much from you, I guess.
I wouldn't dare say
that. Saying, so it sounds like there's always a suitcase packed for each of you.
Yes.
A lot of travel. Okay, yes.
My bag has been packed for the past 2 months.
Only working with other people and going on the road is when you learn the ethics of the music. Because, say, you go to the music conservatory or university, and you learn, you know, the music, to play the music and interpret it and all that. But it's not only until you go on the road that you and work with elder people that you like those ethics, you know, how to do things, how to relate, how to talk, how to, you know, be in a press conference, and all of these details that are so important to this musical tradition.
So you learn a lot and you teach a lot. The Bohemian Trio is Yosvani Terry, Orlando Alonso, and Eve Dharamraj. Thank you all so much for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for having me.